Hey there, beautiful people. Welcome to Fan Tide Podcast for all those complex and complicado conversations about the gray areas in our lives. I'm entertainment journalist Travelle Anderson.
And I'm sending a Muffet basket to apologize to the woman doing my COVID test, as we just learned the hard way that you should never sneeze with food in your mouth, Jarrett Hill. This week on the show, We're talking about bouge. Listen, it was a really rough time.
Wow.
We're talking about the bouge, what it means to be bougie, bougetto, bourgeoisie, what we love, what we hate, and probably some things that'll piss some people off. That's coming up on the show. But first things first,
make the whole world feel it.
I never feel comfortable going for the Iggy reference because I feel like Iggy's like canceled adjacent, but like I love that song. Like, I mean,
it's a hit, okay? It's a bop, so people just gonna have to get over it, all right? Shit.
It is a hit. You're right. Okay, first things first, we had a show last week about online dating, and we got quite a bit of feedback, some of which we will be getting to later on, a little bit later on in the show. But I wanted to touch on a couple of things that struck me in the feedback, but also that came to me after the taping, where I was like, oh, damn, I should have said, because I've had all these feelings about online dating for so long, and didn't bring them up. So, okay. Travelle, what kind of feedback have you gotten without getting into the letters? Like, what kind of personal feedback? Because I know you talk to folks about the show all the time.
Well, I just want to note, as I said on Twitter, I do not know what really provoked me to say that I wanted DMs. And so I did do a clarification note on the Twitter in particular. However,
oh, God.
I would also...
Whenever there's a however, comma, my spirit gets anxious and nervous, but go on.
Well, I'm just saying, not nary DM came my way.
Well, you did a correction on the Twitter. That's you told people not to,
point.
Huh?
That is not the point.
You wanted people to violate your request. You said, like, be disobedient, goddammit.
I wanted people to not see the correction on Twitter. You see what I'm saying here? Because I'm still, so, you know, because maybe the next love of my life is in the DMs, just lurking and just waiting for an opportunity. Just in case, I just want the option to be there is what I'm saying. But I also don't want to be objectified, right? Because I'm a lady.
You're very much the girl that breaks up with her boyfriend and then is mad because he didn't fight to stay with her. Like, problematic, toxic boots, like, just all that shit. So a couple of things that I forgot to mention in the episode last week that I was like, oh, I should have said this. Number one, if you are doing your online dating profile and you have pictures of what you used to look like 15 years ago, you should go to jail.
Oh, no.
Period. You should go to jail. I don't care what you look like back in your 20s.
I thought we were.
I don't care what your body used to look like. We are, but it's all we got. So listen, we got to use what is available to us. Amen. Number two, the words that I hate the most on a dating profile, like if someone says that they love to laugh or they love to have fun, I'm swiping left, deleting, blocking, and reporting your profile because you sound stupid.
What?
Can you name me somebody who doesn't love to have fun?
There are some people who don't like to have fun, or at least who don't like to have my type of fun.
Right, but they're talking about their own type of fun, right? The idea of I love to have fun or I love to laugh. Now, I also want to shout out to, I know that some of the girls are like, well, the word fun can mean other things in other contexts, praise the Lord.
Let
me tell you, you're right. Oh, listen, Gawk Gawk 3000, but that is not the fun that we're talking about here, people, okay? That is not what we're talking about.
Oh, God.
Number three.
Uh-huh.
Do not include your social media on your online dating profile if your social media is private or does not work, right? If you don't use that shit, now I want to report you, throw you in jail, and also swipe left.
Wow, not the jail again. Jesus. Did you watch I Am Not Your Negro?
This shit is too exhausting. I did.
Did you watch the 13th?
I did. I hosted the screening. So I was there for I Am Not Your Negro, not 13th. And then, lastly, white people, especially white people who listen to this show, Do not DM me telling me how I need to rearrange my priorities around race, speaking specifically about Love Life, that show.
Oh,
because I am still watching it. I want to shout out Marquita, who's a friend of yours and mine, who called me late, actually, yesterday. I was like, why is she calling me so late? And she was like, so I need to talk to you about Love Life. And I was like, oh, she listens to the show. Okay. She actually had some really interesting theories. Marquita, you know Marquita very well. Marquita, her theories about the show are not for that show. Let me explain. Marquita's like, I think... Now, mind you, this is a spoiler, so you might want to skip ahead about 30 seconds because I'm going to say something. I'm going to give you a moment to breathe. You should have skipped ahead by now. Let me be quick. Marquita thinks that the white woman that he accidentally gets pregnant isn't actually pregnant by him, or that she's lying about the whole situation and she was never pregnant at all. I was saying to Marquita...
Well, you know, white women do be lying.
Listen. But... I was saying, Marquita, if this were a Scandal, maybe. If this were, you know, Dexter, maybe. But I don't think that's what Love Life is giving. I just don't think it is.
I can't.
But shout out to Marquita, who's a good friend of ours, who listens to the show regularly. I got feedback from y'all about Love Life, and I'm still watching. I'm still enjoying the show. I have questions. But someone DM'd me on Twitter and was like, you didn't have a problem with him whoring around on his wife, but you had a problem with the race piece. You need to rearrange your priorities or something. And I was like, excuse me? Most likely white person?
Not most likely white person.
How dare you? Well, I mean, I did a little bit of investigation, but also didn't really care. So there is that whole situation. But like Love Life, I'm still watching it. We're praying for old boy because
not old boy. See.
Anything else here that you wanted to cover?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Let's go take a break. Okay, we're going to pay some bills, y'all, and we'll be right back.
So it is never too early to start gift shopping for the holidays, especially because today you can save big on a gift they'll use every single day. Raycon wireless earbuds. The audio quality on the Raycons is amazing, comparable to what you get from other premium brands, except Raycon is half the price. The new everyday earbuds come with three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. You got pure mode, balance mode, bass mode, all kinds of really dope ways to be able to listen with your Raycons. So this holiday season, get them something they can use for calls or music, for work or play, at home or on the go. I will tell y'all that my parents, they called me after we did one of our earlier Raycon ads and they were like, oh, is it good? And I was like, yeah, you guys should try it. They've bought them and they're always like, they think that it's cool to listen to the show in their Raycons. I think my parents are also interesting people, but like they love that. Right now you can go to buyraycon.com/fanti. And today you can unlock an exclusive deal up to 20% off your Raycon order. But hurry, this offer is available for a limited time only, and you don't want to miss it. That's buyraycon.com/fanti to unlock up to 20% off your Raycons. buyraycon.com/fanti. I might be getting my parents the upgrade for Christmas.
Fanti is also brought to you by the folks over at Lumi Labs. We know you've heard about microdosing because we've been telling you about it. But in case you're new here, okay, there's plenty of information all over the internet. Go for it. Do your own search. I'm here to tell you today about Lumi Labs' microdose gummies, okay? Their microdose gummies have microdoses of THC, and they just released 6 flavors of higher THC gummies based on sativa, indica, and hybrid strains. And guess what? Because it's hemp-derived THC, they're available nationwide. So you can check them out and do some research over at microdosegummies.com. I just got my microdose gummies in the mail like 20 minutes before we hopped onto the recording. So I haven't tasted the gummies, but I have told y'all about my experience with the lozenges, the drops, honey. And if these are anything like that, I am so ready to be cool, calm, and collected as soon as I in this recording, okay? Because I'm going to be popping one of them, okay? I just pulled out. They have a granddaddy sour OG flavor, and that seems right up my particular alley, okay? Microdose is really different from other hemp products because it contains micro doses of THC and balanced with cannabinoids like CBD and CBG. This way, you can eat just one microdose and feel a nice mood lift from the THC without getting high. There is a reason that microdosing is becoming so popular for health and wellness. If you want to learn more, again, do your own research. You don't have to take my word for it. If you want to learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search online, or you can go to microdosegummies.com and get them delivered to your door. To get free shipping and 30% off your first order, use code FANTI. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdosegummies.com and code FANTI.
Welcome back to FANTI. Beware of the bougie man. This week, we're taking on a title that I've struggled with for a long time, but no more. The concept of being bougie, or one having a certain level of bouge, as I would call it, has been frustrating to me because it always feels like a critique on my blackness. Like I was supposedly rich, or distancing myself from some kind of blackness or black reality that I never really was. And I didn't grow up with money, right? Like, I would dare say my single mom was lower middle class at very best, and I think that might be a stretch, but she always wanted shit to be nice for us. So she worked overtime to make sure that we were able to maintain as much of a similar lifestyle as we did when they were a two-parent income household. And so I think that's called a dual income household, whatever, the edible. My mom was always like very dressed for church. She kept that hair fried, dyed, and laid to the side. She went out of her way to make sure our home was well decorated and clean and all that shit. So now as an adult, honey, I like to maintain the lifestyle to which I've, you know, become accustomed. And if that makes me Regine Hunter, I will take it. Wow. That's fine. But First things first, Travelle, yes, you're the realist. We know. We'll drop down and let the whole world feel it.
Ow.
But what is your like relationship to like the term bougie? Like, what is your background with that?
I have only started being called bougie in adulthood. Like in the last, like, how long have we known each other?
4 years. 4 long years. 3 months, 2 days, 6 hours, and 9 minutes. Jesus.
And woo, counting.
Keep me near the cross, Lord.
You'll be all right. But I'd say maybe in the last 5 years, I feel like the term bougie has been foisted upon me because of, you know, what people feel are a taste level that might be in a different place today than where it was, you know, back in Charleston, South Carolina, if you pick it up what I'm putting down.
I will answer the question myself too, but like, what are the things that have made people call you bougie? Like, what are those things?
Okay, so those things are, I don't...
I'll tell you when I started to realize, like, oh, something has changed in Travelle.
What?
After you left the LA, no. After, this is a good thing. After you left the LA Times and you went to Out, the rate went up for everything else for you, right? And yeah. I was like, oh, she's at in a different, okay, we see her a little bit differently. I think that's when the bouge started for you.
I don't know. I feel like it's like the types of clothes that I wear. I think it is how I speak from time to time. I think it is just, you know, it's just an attitude, right? I'm that girl who you can invite wherever you want to invite. And if I don't want to come, I ain't coming.
Listen.
You know, and I feel like I get foisted bouge upon me because of that. Or when I go out to eat, I want to go to a nice restaurant. I don't want to go to Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken all the time. Although I love a Gus's World Famous Fried Chicken, okay?
Haven't they given you like a free influencer card at this point? Because I know that you're like the patron saint.
They need to. But sometimes I want to go to Tao. Sometimes I want to go to, what's the sushi name of the sushi? Sugarfish or the Sugar Rock. Rock Sugar.
Wow. Sugar Rock is something that the girls put up their nose to have a good time. Sugar Yikes. Fish is the sushi place that you're talking about. I just wanted to be clear about the booger sugar. So, okay. My background with bougie is interesting because, like, even as I'm thinking about this right now, I think my parents were considered, like, some of the bougie parents in the family because they moved out of the area where everyone else did. They bought a house. My dad bought my mom a BMW, like, that she had always asked for, you know, after however many years. And, like, I think we were that family. Mm-hmm. And so I think I probably like always... Not too much, bitch. Okay?
Your description, not mine. I'm just going off of what you said.
Honey, I'm just agreeing with you, okay? Listen. I'm agreeing. But I think we were probably called that. But now, like, in adulthood, you know, the running joke for me has been that I'm very good being, like, the rich auntie who drives a Lexus, always wears sunglasses, and only shows up every now and then. But we'll slip some money in your pocket and spill some tea. Like, I love that auntie. Now, I could be the auntie with a man or not. I don't know. But, like, that has always been, like, the bougie in my mind.
You bringing up your parents reminded me that my mom was and is considered the bougie one of the family because she moved out of Charleston. She enlisted to the military and ruined the rest of our lives. But, you know, that's a joke, by the way, in case she's listening. But she moved away from Charleston and her siblings called her bougie. And because we were her kids, and so therefore we grew up outside of Charleston as well, we also were called bougie in the family as well. And guess what? We were.
Let's kind of get into the fan, because I put out a call on Instagram while we were in our production meeting yesterday asking for people to tell us how they spell bougie, because I feel like I've seen multiple spellings of it. We got interesting feedback to that we'll get to in just a few minutes. But beforehand, I got like voice notes from people. I got like text messages and DMs, and I was actually surprised by how much feedback we got.
The engagement is high, honey.
Yes, it was very good. And so my friend Gabrielle Gambrell, she is a woman. If any of you will have seen me speak at NABJ in our national convention, her and I spoke together in New Orleans, and she's fantastic. She sent me a note about the word bougie, and this is what she said. She says, okay, so I feel like when my family says someone is bourgeoisie, then they're talking about somebody negatively, like they act and think that they're better than people. But being bougie is perhaps something to be proud of. Having standards, wearing luxury items, only flying first class, me, she says. It's okay to be bougie, but all the bourgeoisie, it's like having your nose up in the air and aren't relatable or frowning upon other folks. It's okay to be bougie. That makes sense. Now, I'm fascinated by this because even as I wrote the intro and was saying, like, I feel like it's a challenge on my blackness, I cringed a little bit at saying that because I feel like there's always some light skin conversation and all this other shit that we've had plenty of conversations around colorism and you know, skin tone prejudice or whatever. But then to hear this from her as well, I was like, oh, so you do feel like it's an attack on your blackness as well. And that was something that was interesting to me. But I don't really hear people using bourgeoisie a whole lot. But like, I think people use these more interchangeably.
Well, so this is a good point to make, right? Because bougie, as we use it today, no matter how you spell it, right, it is a derivative of bourgeoisie, as Gabrielle is saying. And so I want to read this little bit right here from, this is a 2017 article written at USA Today, entitled, What You're Really Saying When You Call Something Bougie. And in detailing the history of the word, they note that bougie in some way, shape, or form has been around for over 100 years, dating back to the revolutionary France before stemming off into its various versions, right? And Karl Marx, shout out to Karl Marx, or maybe not shout out to Karl Marx, you know, depending on where you are on the line of things. Anyway, Karl Marx... He had like two different types of like economic statuses, right? To illustrate class struggle. And so there was bourgeoisie and then there was the proletariat. And in Marx's philosophy, bourgeoisie were like the owners, the producers in, you know, industrialization, factory life that was going on. And those people in his, you know, estimation, they valued property and profit and maintaining their status, whereas the proletariat were like the lower status folks, the working class people. Over time, however, according to this article, bourgeois, bougie, bourgeoisie overall just literally means like middle to upper middle class kind of like materialism. And I note that because it seems like even from this note that you got from your friend that like a couple of the things that are attached with bourgeoisie and or bougie, right, are related to coins. They're related to, you know, flying first class, the type of car you drive, et cetera.
Well, the reason that this part of the discussion is in fan is because I like nice shit, right? And, like, if that makes me bougie, I'll be that. But, like, if I want shit to be nice, I want shit to be nice. When you come over to my house, you always tell the girls, oh, he bougie because whatever. And, like, I know that you're being facetious or whatever.
Am I?
You're also being serious though, right?
Oh, like it okay. comes,
but like bougie always has like some degree of pejorative mm-hmm. connotation to it. But like even if it's in jest or not necessarily in jest, but like in a playful kind of way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of the things that I enjoy about the bouge, if you will. What is something that works for you as far as the bouge?
Well, so one of the things that you mentioned in terms of like this bougie auntie thing that gets thrown on you, I also get it.
The
right?
Lexus? I don't drive a Lexus, by the way. But
I also get the bougie auntie thing as well for a variety of reasons, some of them that we've talked about as well. But it also, like, one of the ones that people always say every time I tell them that I live in Hollywood, they're like, ooh, she got money, ooh, she bougie, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When in reality, it is less about me having money and being able to afford living in Hollywood, and more about when I was not living in Hollywood and I was living in other communities in this trash city of ours, my life was being threatened.
Listen, let's call it what it is.
You know, and so, like, the types of associations that we put on certain things, such as where you live in the city, right, says a lot, right? And I do the same thing when somebody tells me they staying in Toluca Lake. First of all, I'm gonna be like, ooh, Toluca Lake, baby, that's too far away. And second, I'm be like, ooh, you got a little coin.
I was like, do you have friends anywhere? Because Toluca Lake part. Is far.
Exactly.
No shade.
Exactly. But then I'm like, oh, you must got some coins. You must have a little something if you in the Toluca Lake. Okay, honey. You know, and so like I do the same thing.
But the girls will call me bougie for like my apartment being decorated well.
I think it's not just your apartment being well, right? It's like you don't got no house full of. Oh, some people gonna receive this very negatively, and I do not intend to.
Don't say that because I already know how you're about to come for IKEA, and that's not necessary.
Well, but that is why that's another example of something that people look at and they use it as a class judgment, right? And so when we go in your house and we don't see what we think of, because I know the tea, but when we don't see what we think of as IKEA furniture. In our heads, we like, ooh, he bougie. He got real furniture, chai. I mean, he didn't go to Bob's discount furniture store, chai. He went to Ashley.
I mean, Ashley Furniture is not that bougie, but I see what you mean.
Well,
though.
Excuse
yes.
me. Okay, CB2? You want CB2?
There's plenty of CB2 off in this house. I will tell you that. But yeah, no, I mean, I feel like it is something that I hear often when people come to my house. Like, we had a dinner here recently for the organization, and like the way that our friends that came for that meeting, the way that they responded was like, y'all are doing the absolute most.
But your home is also nice. Your home is really nice, Jared. Like,
it I is. Don't,
tell
Thank
pe-
you.
People if you are listening and you have not seen Jared's office, which you can see in the videos that we post on social media. Jared's house is nice, and what you see in that video is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay, you see in my video, I got motherfucking fabric hanging up on the wall, honey. Okay, Jared has painted. Okay, he be color coordinating the lights and stuff behind him, and all of that. And so it is nice. So go, but you can go ahead and finish what you were saying.
You know, I believe that everything is marketing, and I did interior design for a minute when I was like between things, and
one of your many jobs.
Listen, one of my many. But anyway, I just feel. Like that, and like I feel like we also get called bougie because we have blue checks. I think that something about being verified on social media really makes people think that there is like a check that comes with it,
baby.
And like they do not get it. Like I can't pay my rent with a verification check.
Child, listen, don't get me started. But you're right. That's another example, right, of the things that we confer upon certain. happenings or certain things that we think are like status symbols, right? That are supposed to convey bougie. And, you know, when we're thinking about the things we might like about being called bougie or whatever the case may be, the fan of it all, I reject bougie, although I'm getting to an age where I'm starting to accept bougie. But I've often rejected bougie in favor of bougetto.
Can we just pause right here? Because now, yesterday in our meeting, Travelle wrote bougetto in, and I was like, oh my God, I love bougetto. It's such a great word, blah, blah, blah. I love that song. And Travelle, Lorraine, and Laura were all like, what song? And I was like, y'all don't know that bougetto is a song? Like, what is happening here? Where did you hear bougetto and not know that it was a song?
I don't know. In common parlance, if you will.
I feel like you went to a Negro school. Like, how did you not know?
I mean, because my education in blackness is more vast than just this one apparent rap video from, what, the early 2000s?
I went to school across the street from you. Don't act like... I don't know what this is.
Listen, this is not the AUC-CAU Morehouse episode, okay? So let's not go there. You trying to pull me in, and I am resisting, okay? The pressure. I am resisting the pressure.
Oh, trash ass. Like, just keep pushing, right?
And we should say that the music video that you are talking about, that the song you are talking about is Bougetto by Ollie, featuring Murphy Lee. So for those who don't know, bougetto is a what's the word we use? We talk about fanti, a parallelax. What's it called?
A synonym?
No, a pair.
A portmanteau.
That one. A portmanteau. Bougetto is a portmanteau.
Okay, stop. Well, I'm not doing this with you. Okay.
What
I'm
I did. Not doing
a portmanteau.
That's is that what you we're said. Doing?
It's a port. Man toe.
Oh, there's another T in there. Okay. Sorry, I didn't
if
know.
If you say ho, I swear to God, I'm going to reach this screen. I mean, bougetto was always like the perfect hyphen. A portmanteau of bougie and ghetto.
Yes.
And like, I mean, I feel like bougetto works.
I'm bougetto because I recognize some positivity that there is in quote unquote being bougie, if we're going to go with that traditional, you know, class, like high class, top, you know, upper middle class definition. And then the opposite of that often is ghetto, which people associate with lower class, lower income, urban, black, negroid. Okay.
I don't know how you made the letter U into two syllables in urban, but I appreciate the work. So, okay, let's get into the anti when it comes to bougie.
Wait, I just wanted to say that because I think it's important when we're talking about ghetto that we also recognize, like, you know, the class ways of both of the bougie, which you and I can look at and say, oh, I'm cool with that. And then also we want to adopt and hold bougetto. In doing so, it is us buying into this binary, right? When like the ghetto is gorgeous. The ghetto is rich in resources, maybe not necessarily always financial ones, but other forms, right, of riches. Okay. Mm. Oh, I wanna minister right now. The great songwriter once said,
oh Lord, I feel your presence.
Okay, I'm done. Go to the anti.
Ooh, I feel like preaching tonight. I think that's actually a really good point. It is a lot more interesting than I realized. Even just that little element of it is really interesting because it's a juxtaposition, right? Mm-hmm. It being a portmanteau is inherently it being a juxtaposition of two different things. But, a portmanteau ho. But like it's an interesting way to kind of frame that conversation, which I actually think really speaks well to one of the voice notes that I got as we move into the anti of the bouge. I got a voice note on Instagram from a man that I adore. His name is Donnie Hugh. First of all, as gorgeous a human being as you're ever going to see in your life. Donnie is an actor, an entrepreneur, has a fantastic line of skincare products. And I put the question out asking folks, how do you spell bougie? Because we were talking about it in our meeting. And Donnie sent me a message and said that I think that there is an element of socioeconomic status that is something to consider when you're thinking about even the spelling of bougie. And I was like, say more. And so we had a conversation and I asked Donnie to send in a little bit of his perspective on what that means.
I just thought it was so interesting that you asked the question, like, how do you spell bougie? And it made me think about how, even as ironic as it is, how even the spelling is associated with socioeconomic status. And you have to have a certain level of education, exposure, and awareness to look at bourgeoisie and spell it that way, the way that it's technically spelled, or even recognize it for what it is. But it's been shortened in our culture, especially as Black people, to use the term bougie and to spell it in specific ways that relates to the way that we use it. And we use it to classify and identify people who either pretend that they're at a certain level, act as if they have a certain standard, or carry themselves in certain ways in certain circumstances and compare themselves to what would be the opposite as ghetto. And somehow we fused the two and came up with bougietto. And it's just something that I associate with socioeconomic status.
I love that Donnie and I are on the same page, because as soon as I heard the voice note, I said, oh, Donnie got a nice voice. I said, let me look up Donnie, see who Donnie is.
Yes.
And I looked up Donnie, and Donnie is cute. Hey, you doing, Donnie?
I told you, Donnie is as gorgeous a human being as you're ever going to see. Donnie's also an actor, has done some really great films with Samson McCormick, a lot of queer Black content that's out in the internet and on the Amazon Prime. But I thought that this was such an interesting element of the conversation, because he was saying that the people who would call someone bougie are usually not people who consider themselves bougie, right? Mm-hmm. And like the way that that would be spelled would be more phonetic, and like it is more of a slang term, whereas like there was just so much interesting like analysis in this that then comes like even to the point of the bougie and ghetto coming together, but being a binary, you know, kind of juxtaposition, if that's a thing, mm-hmm. Of two things that are seemingly, you know, discordant with each other, if you will.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you mentioned in your intro, right? Bougie is supposed to be an insult. Even yeah. when we throw it out in joking manners or whatever, like, it's supposed to sting just a little bit, right?
Well, and like for me, one of the other pieces I have in my anti is that I don't like that it feels like being told you sound white when I speak. Mm-hmm, or that mm-hmm. I, you know what I mean? Like, and we've had this conversation on the show before, because the same way that that someone saying that someone's talking white indicates or implies, I should say, that, you know, Black people do not speak in a way that is more reflective mm-hmm. of education and all those other things, which is even kind of problematic in and of itself. But it's kind of similar to saying like, oh, we do not associate Blackness with, you know, things that are more expensive or better made or whatever. I distinctly don't want to say better, because I don't know that that is what I really mean, but like more expensive of a higher end or whatever.
Well, right, because it is a calling into question, as you mentioned, of your Blackness in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, in many people's minds, Blackness is associated with less in whatever way, shape, or form, right? So like, you can't be, seemingly, you can't be bougie and still be Black. You can't be bougie and still be down for the cause, right? You can't be bougie and still, you know, fight for liberation, right? And this connects to other conversations we've had about the ways in which people expect
activists. This is Patrice Cullors.
Yeah, well.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I mean, everyone's got, I mean, we had this conversation on the show before, and I was started thinking this, and I saw that you were beginning to think it as well. But like the whole Patrice Cullors, you know, scandal about money and Black Lives Matter and whether or not that was some bullshit and whatever is a whole different conversation in an episode that we did last year. But I more so was troubled by the way that culture and news media, right? Like Black Twitter and news media, we're talking about activism as if it has to exist in poverty, right? As if activism does not cost money, right? Like you and I, you have been president of NABJLA. I am president now of NABJLA. Like it takes money to do shit, right? And like we have to get people to sponsor, you know, our events so that we can do them to be able to build community or, you know, do professional development or advocacy or whatever. And so like all of this kind of brings it back to this thing of like there being this idea of distance between Blackness and wealth or, you know, that kind of thing.
Here's the thing. You know, I don't know if you know, there's a Instagram account called Every Nigga Deserves.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I was thinking as we were putting this episode together, every nigga deserves to be bougie.
Listen.
To have the opportunity to be bougie because you should be able to be bougie and still be Black.
If you want it.
If you want it. Right? Like you should be able to get whatever resources come your way and still hold on to your Blackness and your connection to your community, right? And if you don't want to do that, right? If you don't want to live that life, that's okay too, right? Or whatever the case may be, but you should have the opportunity to do so as easily as everybody else. Every nigga deserves to be bougie.
We need to tag them in that and like send that to their, it's a fantastic account. If you don't follow it, I mean, Black folks, this is more for you than not, but if you go follow Every Nigga Deserves, it's a fantastic Instagram. Okay. Last thing is, for me at least, this is not about Jack and Jill. This is about like the culture that exists around Jack and Jill, but not necessarily the organization, because I'm not really familiar with their work recently, right? Mm-hmm. But like as a Black person in Atlanta going to an HBCU and being amongst like young Black professionals and shit like that, I did not like the Greek culture that I saw that I was interested in. I didn't like how exclusive it felt and exclusionary it felt. In various different ways. But I also feel like that Jack and Jill kind of culture starts to feel exclusive. And that makes me cringe a little bit, even as a person who's like in my mid-30s and now thinking about having children and that kind of thing. Like, I'm like, but I do want them to have the best of everything that I can give them. And I don't want them to, you know, go without, or I want to... All of those kinds of things, that always made me cringe about the bougie culture of like professionals and all of that kind of thing.
Oh, and we should explain when we mean what we mean by Jack and Jill culture.
I mean, if you know, you know, like Jack and Jill is a Black professionals, upper middle class, like Black organization that tends to be where like you see younger kids that are in those, in that socioeconomic kind of class or membership of that organization, I guess. Am I giving this fairness?
I mean, yeah. Listen, I have never been in the Jack and Jill, and my understanding of Jack and Jill, I think, is similar to yours as being Black people who were in certain types of Black spaces where a lot of the folks who might have gone through Jack and Jill, that type of institution and system, you know, they present themselves in a particular way when they're in mixed company with other types of Black folks, right? So that's my experience with Jack and Jill. But I wanted to say, you talked about it being exclusionary and having this exclusionary air about it, but that is the intention behind it, right? It's meant to be exclusive.
Absolutely.
It is meant to be a very in-group, out-group type of setup. The problem, I think, is that when we think of those markers of status or class that we talked about earlier, I think the issue is associating those markers with one's level of Blackness or not, right?
I mean, essentially what I thought you were going to say is that it is associating those things with whiteness exclusively.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right? And so, I mean, because I think of like the Jack and Jill of it all, right? Now, as where I am at this big age, right, I'm like, well, I also kind of get it.
Not this okay, big age. I'm sorry.
But like, I'm 36 years old, right? Like,
I'm
having the conflict right now, right? Like, both of us have talked about starting to kind of embrace the bouge, if you will. Mm-hmm. But like, when it comes to like Jack and Jill, for instance, right? And again, it's not even necessarily about them, but more like the culture of that kind of thing. Like, part of me is like, I mean, I kind of get it, but like, I don't know that I want it. It's a weird place to be in. Before we go, the producers had this great idea in our meeting yesterday to figure out who is in what class, who like of our celebrities. And well, who do you think of as being like our present day bougie class?
And are we making a difference between bougie, bougetto, ghetto in the historically yes. problematic, stereotypical way? Like, we're just going to lean into it? Is that what we're doing?
We're just going to lean into it. We're going to, you know.
So we are intentionally being problematic. Gotcha.
Yes, to be clear. Goddamn. You didn't frame it that way in the meeting yesterday.
I did it. It just hit me.
Well, but I feel like for me, like the bougie class is like the Obamas, right? Like Beyonce and Jay-Z. No?
I think Beyonce in particular presents as bougie, but I think she herself might identify as bougetto. Because that Houston, it runs deep, honey.
Listen, what was old girl's name? Nala. I was having a hard time with Beyonce as the voice of Nala, even though I was loving the movie. Like, she was giving me real Texas Bama in the middle of the Serengeto, and it was too much. I feel like our bougetto class, I'm actually intrigued by the way that you've juxtaposed that, because realistically, like, there is a persona that is coming from these people, and how real or not that is a different conversation, right?
Right.
And so, like, our bougetto class, who will, like, lean into the bougetto, I think of Cardi, Nicki, Megan, right? These girls who are like, at everything, are down for the WAP and like sexual liberation and all that. Like, that is not looked at as bougie, I don't think. I think they are seen as like ghetto girls because they do that and because they're like, you know, bucking the system or whatever.
Yes.
So I think of them as like the bougetto girls.
And recognizing, again, we know the setup is problematic, y'all. We don't want to hear it, okay? Come on. We having fun. Now, why does fun have to be problematic? Listen, we talk about that on a different episode, okay? Mind your business.
Fucking cancel me, okay? Like,
not cancel me, Jesus. Wow. But yes, and I just have an honorable mention of Booge, and that's when I think of the like Real Housewives of Atlanta type of women. They give me bougetto, but they think they bougie, and that's a whole different type of conniption just ready to happen.
What's interesting to me that Donnie said to me earlier was that we call people bougie if they are acting like they have something or they actually do have it, right? And he didn't say that in the clip, but that's what we were talking about. And I think that what's interesting with like the Real Housewives is they are being bougie, but some of them are folks that don't have it. So, like, they all kind of fit within that swing back and forth of, like, the meaning. But, yeah, anyway. Okay, we've got to get ready to go. We want to know, though, from you, are you embracing bougie? Or is it, like, as pejorative as it's always been? Let us know. You can hit us up on Twitter, Instagram. Use the hashtag FantiFam. We're at Fanti Podcast on both of those platforms. We want to know what y'all think. I'm intrigued by this. This has actually been a much more interesting conversation than I even thought it was going to be, and I pitched this fucking show. Coming up, why y'all hate us so much, and our listener feedback and our dishonorable mentions. Don't go anywhere. Fanti's coming right back.
Hi, it's me, Dave Hill, from Before, here to tell you about my brand new show on Maximum Fun, the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, which combines my old Maximum Fun show, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, with my old radio show, The Goddamn Dave Hill Show, into one new futuristic program from the future. If you like delightful conversation with incredible guests, technical difficulties, and actual phone calls from real-life listeners, you've just hit a street called easy. I'm also joined by my incredible co-host, the boy criminal Chris Gersbeck. Say hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. It's really great.
That's enough, Chris. And New Jersey chicken rancher, Dez. Say hi, Dez.
Hey, Dave.
The Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Brand new episodes every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Plus, the show's not even an hour. It's 90 minutes.
Take that, stupid rules.
We nailed it.
Hey folks, it's me, James Arthur M., host of Minority Corner, your home through these wild times for weekly doses of pop culture, history, news, nerdy stuff, and more through a BIPOC queer and allied lens.
Hollywood.
I'm a black woman, and you need to put me in your pictures. I am Eartha Kitt.
Meow. Where am I right now?
Why it's February and March that you get to celebrate me and all the other beautiful black women in your life and or your history.
And still to this day, we do not have a federal anti-lynching law.
This is so bad, James.
They were like,
I didn't even know any of this existed.
Yeah, yeah. This is why we have these conversations here. So join me and some of your new BFFs every Friday here on Maximum Fun to stay informed, empowered, and have some fun. Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
Welcome back, beautiful people. We're going to get into our listener feedback segment. This is your opportunity to tell us your thoughts, your feelings about whatever we discuss on the show. We've got a quick email here that I wanted to read out. This is in response to our online dating episode from last week. This comes from Sean, and it says, Jared.
Let me stop you right here. Before you proceed with this email, I often let people know that you are the person who, you know, persons the inbox the most.
Yes.
Now, mind you, I see the emails when they come in, but you populate this segment. And I just like to remind people that you produce this segment.
Wow.
And not me.
Wow.
But carry on.
Anyway, so Sean says, Jared, comma, you don't have to look any further, period. I am right here, period. In jest, but not really, comma, Sean. P.S. To answer your question, I gave up on the apps for similar reasons you two discussed. I'm a member of the plus in the LGBTQ plus. And so I wanted to just...
What does that mean?
You got to ask Sean. If you respond to Sean's email, you can get to know what the plus and the LGBT plus means. Since you got all your questions with your fancy degree.
Since you got your fucking degree, you know everything. Every day. Okay. Sean, I'm turning red because I'm light-skinned, and
but hold
I don't
on.
Know how to respond
I wasn't
to
finished.
That.
I wasn't finished, okay?
Oh.
I wanted to say, you want to recognize privilege? You didn't ask for nobody to outreach to you, to DM to you, to email you, and you got the message.
You know what? I'm actually glad that you said this, because when I was, someone reached out to me, and I can't think of who said this to me. It might have been Donnie as well. I'm not sure.
I am so
but
tickled over here.
Someone was saying like, oh, they were like, Travel has to acknowledge their privilege in that situation as well. And oh. I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, they said to me, I think that was Donnie, who was saying like, Travel has the privilege of being out and like, you know, in a way that is like been able to make them money and is as a part of their professional identity. And like, there is an element of privilege in that. And I was like, I get that. Okay. I'm not mad at it. So recognize your own privilege. How?
Sure. I mean, listen, I don't mind it. I think there's a lot of privileges that I have that other LGBTQ plus members do not have. I do want to note that, you know, me being a professional queer person is because I had to be a professional queer person, because you motherfuckers wouldn't let me just exist in a newsroom without being. But nonetheless. Shout out to y'all.
Say that. No, but say that again, because some of the girls in the back missed it.
Okay, we need
Honey,
to go.
Everybody didn't
we need
come
to
in,
go. I'm
everybody
high.
Didn't come into this DEI work because they were looking to do it.
That
okay?
part. That How part. Period.
Okay. It's time for our dishonorable mentions. Wow, that really went to a different place than I saw it going.
It always does. Listen.
Sean, thank you for the email.
He's flattered.
And
he's blushing. He literally he literally looked like a red balloon over here. Okay.
I hate you. And now it's time for our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories of people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out either for their good or for their stupid. Shut up, Travel. I want to give a few shout outs to black folks that I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, in the last week here. I went to Target and there is a new line of like kitchen appliances called Ghetto Gastro. And it's at Target and they have like a full line of products and it is black owned and, you know, black design, black created and all that. And you can get it at Target. And I just was so excited to see it. And I was like, it didn't work for my kitchen because of colors. And, you know, I'm very specific about shit, but I was like, all of the stuff looked really dope. And like, I wished that I could buy something. And so I was like,
buy something for me.
I can just talk about it on the show. And you know what? Yes, I will get you a housewarming gift from Ghetto Gastro. So moving right along, make sure to check that out at Target. It's Cru, C-R-U, by GG at Target. So check that out. The second thing I wanted to bring up is I recently found a black artist. She's a painter, an artist like that. She does drawings and paintings and all kinds of really dope art. On Instagram, she's Snoop Doggy Dom, D-O-M, as in, I think, Dominique. And her website is domoinc.com. And she has this really, really beautiful art of black folks in different kinds of scenarios. And it's just really, really beautiful. I was on her website today and I had like 14 things that I wanted. And I was like, I cannot have a whole house full of art from one person. But go check her out, Snoop Doggy Dom on Instagram. And she's got a lot of beautiful stuff. I want to shout out the new HBO special from Eder Rodriguez that's called Fightin' Words on HBO Max. I watched it this week and like I really appreciate the way that she tells her personal story in this special. She is Puerto Rican and she goes back to Puerto Rico. Or excuse me, she's Dominican.
Both.
She's Dominican and she's both of them. Yes. And she goes back and she meets her father who she hasn't seen in a long time. She's a really, really great story. So I wanted to highlight that. It's called Fightin' Words by Eder Rodriguez on HBO Max. Finally, I want to give a shout out to a documentary that's going to be airing on Oxygen. This is not an ad. I just saw it in my email and I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. This episode comes out on Thursday. If you're listening to it, it's going to be tomorrow night on Friday, November 12th at 8 p.m. on Oxygen. It's called Murdered and Missing in Montana. It is talking about missing Indigenous women. And like, you know, we've had this whole conversation around Gabby Petito and culture and then how that sparked all the conversation around like how many Black women go missing and never get named. And this is talking about how that is affecting Indigenous communities. And I think that everyone should check it out. So again, Murdered and Missing in Montana. It'll be on Oxygen on Friday night, November 12th at 8 p.m.
All righty. So first and foremost, I want to give just a regular old mention. Just not good, not bad. But I do want to give a mention to The Harder They Fall on Netflix, the movie by, I think he goes by The Bullets. I watched
it. Are we allowed to ask follow-up questions in mentions?
Sounds like you're going to do it anyway. But I watched it over the weekend. And I just would like to say that this movie is so fucking violent. It is so gory. It gives Tarantino a run for his money. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but oh my. The first 15 minutes of the movie is a roller coaster, honey.
I called you, I think, while you were watching it. I want to see you paused it, and we were on FaceTime, and your face looked a little rattled. Mind you, that might have also been something else, thanks to our friends over at Marijuana. But I was like, you are really shook. And you were like, baby. And you said exactly this. And I was like, I don't know if that means I should go watch this or not.
You should watch it, because everybody and their mama in that movie, Jonathan Majors, Regina King, Idris Elba, Zazie Beetz.
Honey, everybody's doing the good acting.
Everybody. But it just was not what I was expecting. But I want to shout it out.
Okay.
To shout it out. Okay, next up, I have an honorable mention. You know, we have talked about that man, Mr. Half-Baked, on this show before. And I wanted to...
Are we not allowed to speak his name?
Oh, no. I just was being extra, as usual.
Oh.
I'm talking about Dave Chappelle. Yes. We talked about his special and the issues with it and whatnot. And I know a lot of people are still working through their feelings as it relates to it. So I wanted to provide a really good resource that I think folks should check out. And it's this video on YouTube called Where Dave Chappelle Meets Donald Trump. It's done by Kimberly Foster on the YouTube page for Harriet, which is a, you know, black blog site situation that Kimberly owns has been doing great work for. Check out that video. It's only 20 minutes, but it connects the rhetoric that Dave Chappelle puts forward and how he puts it forward to conversations around how Donald Trump moves through the world. And I think it might be illustrative for folks who might still be grappling with that. So check that out. And then last but not least, I wanted to give just an honorable mention to my good Judy. She's been a financially contributing member of the Fanti fam since day one. Hey. Miss Bianca Carter. Myself and a group of her other friends, we celebrated her over the weekend in San Diego, her 31st birthday. So I just wanted to shout her out because she is as much part of this show as everybody else at this point. So I just wanted to give her flowers. Yes.
She is so gorgeous. Like every time I see her, she's giving me like a great dress. The hair is always hitting. I love it. So happy birthday, Bianca. We love you. Yes. It is time for us to get into...
Black history is happening every day.
Okay, so for Black History is Happening Every Day this week, we were going to shout out the Black women who are like the icons of bouge, Diane Carroll as Dominique Devereaux, Jasmine Guy as Whitley Gilbert on A Different World, or Kim Fields as Regine Hunter from Living Single. But then Missy Elliott got this star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and we have to talk about that. I'm so excited for her. I think that Missy Elliott is one of those artists who very early on I just always trusted. Like, if there was going to be music coming out from Missy, I knew that it was going to be dope. I knew that the video was going to be dope, and everything that she has done has always been really dope. But, like, she is also a really dope person to like watch and follow and listen to now. And so like, I'm really, really proud of her. She gave a speech. Here's a short listen to that.
I've come here 20 some years ago and just used to walk past all of these stars and just imagine. And it's just a blessing to dream big, and it truly happened.
Congratulations to her. She has 4 Grammys, 22 nominations. Her name is Melissa Arnett Elliott. And I love that Melissa, that y'all know as Lizzo, was there last night to help give her the award. She was really great. And it was a great moment. So Black History is happening every day. And it is Missy Elliott.
Hold on one second. I just want to say Missy Elliott is the fucking prototype, honey. Okay. She paved the way for all you young girlies and guys and the rest of y'all too. Okay. Go for it.
They, them, ladies, gentle them. If this conversation piqued your interest and you want more of this,
good.
Check out previous episodes with a related conversation. I would invite you to check out the colorism episodes again. I think some of this conversation is a little bit related to the ways that we talked about colorism. We have a series on colorism that we're doing. I think there's a 3rd episode that we'll probably do coming up here soon. So thank you all so much. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Let us know what you think about the show. If you have a comment or a suggestion about this week's show, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Fanti Podcast. Use the hashtag FantiFam, and we'll see your messages in the lineup.
And as always, you can send us an email at Fanti@MaximumFun.org. If you want to become a financially contributing member of the Fanti Fam like Bianca, you can do that at MaximumFun.org/join. Our music is brought to you by the one and only Corece. That's Core.ece. Wherever you get Slayworthy audio, graphics are done by Ashley Wynn and the folks over at Moon House Creative.
Our producers are Laura Swisher and I had never asked Lorraine if she liked this, so I'm gonna have to check to make sure that this is working. Lorraine Wee! I just don't know if it works. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
I am about to pop one of these Granddaddy Sour OG.
We also need to do the promo.
Oh my God. It really is sour.